Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the source of success, building character in your life. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, self-control. Before we read our text, before we go there, let's read a couple of other verses. Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Since losing one eye or one hand will not conquer lust, why did Jesus give such a command? That command is not meant to be taken literally, but rather figuratively. If Jesus was trying to stop men from lusting, he would have instructed to remove both eyes. Yet, even if they didn't have eyes, men would still lust in their hearts. One eye is the gate through which we receive the images and signals our eyes. They are our eye is the gate through which we receive the images and signals that direct our hands and feet. When we lust with our eyes, we train them to focus on the delusions of immorality, and we become spiritually blind to the realities of life. That blindness allows us to rush into sin, ignoring the consequences. James chapter 1 speaks so clearly of this in verses 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives forth death. Jesus used this analogy to communicate the important truth that the damage we do to others and ourselves when we lust is far greater than any limitations that would come with the loss of a right eye or a right hand. How do we teach our eyes not to lust? We must fully dedicate our eyes, our hands, and our heart to the Lord. Then we'll be able to die daily to lust. If we make a covenant with our eyes, we can train them to see only as Jesus would. The issue is self-control, which is instant obedience to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word translated self-control is eikrateia, which means restraining and controlling oneself. It is the character quality of one who masters his desires and passions. Self-control is the inward strength to bring all physical appetites under the control of the Holy Spirit. A related word is eikrateia, which describes the kind of self-discipline practiced by athletes who are intent on winning the prize. To understand a character quality fully, it's sometimes helpful to contrast it to its opposite. The biblical opposite of self-control is the word akrates or akrates. It means powerful. It means powerless, incontinent, unable to resist the desires and passions of human appetite. Paul described this condition in Romans 7, verse 15. What I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. In verse 24, O wretched man that I am, Who will deliver me from this body of death? Self-control is essential for any believer who wants to excel in the Christian life and who wants to receive honor from the Lord. Let's look at our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. First, Paul used the analogy of a marathon for self-control. Look at verses 24 and the first part of verse 25. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Paul emphasized the external value of self-control. Second part of verse 25 to verse 27. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run this, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Scripture gives a clear sequence of spiritual steps that, when followed, produce self-control. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 are those steps. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. When a person exercises faith and believes in Jesus Christ, he receives the Holy Spirit. A new believer is given tests that require dying to self or natural inclinations and produce character. Each test provides new insights or knowledge of the Lord. Responding to the promptings of the Spirit produces self-control. The Apostle Paul desired to know this kind of walk with Christ and was willing to go through whatever suffering was necessary to experience it. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. He said, yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. How much self-control do you have? Do you give more to spiritual pursuits than to worldly ones? Do you bring every thought captive to Christ? Do you acknowledge weakness to experience God's power? Do you respond to tests of the Spirit with thanks to God? Do you remove temptations to sin so that you don't fulfill them? You answer those questions and you have a great day.